listening to the CCA Podcast.
Well, today's going to be fun. We are in our second week of Jesus Loves Seattle sermon series. When the Lord put this on our heart, this topic and this overarching idea of Jesus Loves Seattle, we went straight into prayer and asking God, what is your heart? What is your will for this church? Not just Calvary, I'm talking Big C, church. What is your will for the church? What is your heart for Seattle? Okay? And there's a couple of things. We're going to extrapolate this morning from Scripture specifically, but Jesus Loves Seattle, week number two. Here's the overarching idea, the big idea this morning. What is God's will for my life? Have you ever asked that question? Have you ever just pushed the pause button on everything going on and said, man, what is God's will for my life? Would you turn with me, Ephesians chapter 1. We go to the Bible here for everything at Calvary, and we believe the Word of God is inspired and infallible and authoritative, and we go to the Word of God for everything. Ephesians, the first chapter. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 14. I'm going to be reading in the New International Version. And it says this: Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Now, I want you to, as I'm reading this text, if you don't have your Bibles and you're just listening, I want, if you can, listen to how many times Paul articulates the will of God. Also be listening for how many times he uses the vernacular in Christ. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Christ Jesus in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect with the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. Verse 11, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything. Now listen, you got to understand, Paul, maybe you didn't know this, maybe you did, but Paul is writing this letter from prison. Okay, if you read on, you see in chapter 2, he says, I'm writing this to you from a prison cell, okay? So, again, verse 11, with that knowledge, listen, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Say his will. His will. What is God's will for my life? In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works everything out in conformity with the purpose of his will. God has a purpose. God has a plan. What is that purpose? What is that plan? I believe that God has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us sitting in this room. We look at this text, it's amazing to me. The repeated reference to God's will, 4 times I counted, he speaks of God's will in those few verses. This is, you need to understand, this narrative is a narrative of confidence and strong purpose and reason for living, which, by the way, if you're writing something like this from the prison cell, right? So he talks about God's will, knowing God's will, and the notion of Paul's in Christ. You keep reading on, and all through these chapters, he's talking about in Christ, in Christ. This vernacular is a day by day. This is how we read it. As Paul talks about all this, in Christ, it's a day-by-day, moment-by-moment relationship is what Christ is all about. In Christ and his will, according to the plan of him, the will of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. So the big idea this morning, what is God's will for my life? Listen, Calvary. God's will doesn't have to be a mystery. Listen, his will becomes clear as we draw closer to Jesus. This is the big idea this morning. We're all faced with everyday many decisions, right? I mean, we all, if you just think about it, just a normal day, the decisions that you and I have to make every day. I mean, I'm going to show you an illustration here in a minute. And in preparation for this illustration, I had to go to the store. Did you know that there are over 48,000 options to choose from in your average grocery store? I mean, think of the things we decide, our job. We'd get to decide our job, right? We decide our friends. We decide our life partner, our money spending habits. Where we live, we get to decide. What we drive, we get to decide. Our morning Starbucks coffee order that you made a decision on this morning on the way to church, some of us. Lunch today, you might be deciding now. What are we going to eat for lunch? Where are we going to go? Decisions, many things that we decide. But in all the day-to-day decisions, again, I ask, what is God's will for my life? In other words, what's the right thing for me to do? Well, let's move back over here. So I have this little thing that I love doing, and my grandmother, my great-grandmother, is the one who gave me her secret recipe. And so this morning, I thought, you know, with the weather the way it is, with it kind of moving into that time of year, with the apples being the way they are, and with my appetite and my family's love and appreciation, why not bake an apple pie and give it away at church? You know, why not? So I have a little thing here called, it's part of what I do. It's called Rise Pies, all right? And so I baked an apple pie, and I had to go to the store, and I had to make some decisions on what I wanted to put in the pie, what the ingredients were, what was this going to be. I had to start somewhere, and so I went to baking the pie, which, by the way, I baked two because my family consumed almost an entire one last night. If I'm gonna make one for church, I gotta make one for my family first. And so this morning, say I put this pie in front of you, any of you. You could perhaps tell how the pie was made, and maybe perhaps you could tell when the pie was made, but only I, the creator of the pie, can tell you who made it and what I made it for. So this morning, why did I make this pie? Who made this pie? I made the pie. Why did I make the pie? Well, I'm going to tell you. Did you want to know? In other words, think of it with me this way. Only the creator of the pie can reveal his will for the pie. So we could all talk around this pie all day long, you and me. I mean, we could pass it around the room, and what do you think it's for, and what do you think it's for, and what do you think the purpose is, and what's the plan, and what do you think, all that. But until you and I talk and are connected in relationship, that is the only way for you to know what the Creator intended for this pie. So, without further ado, let's just cut into this, all right? And by the way, this smells really good, if you were wondering. This smells pretty amazing and kind of reminds me of in Corinthians when Paul talks about the aroma and the fragrance that comes from being in Christ. And so this pie, look at this. Doesn't that look good? Does anybody, first of all, is there like a first or second newbie here? And is this your first or second time here? Is it, okay, well, there we go. We shook hands this morning. Would you give it up for our friend this morning? Have you ever had pie at Calvary? Have you ever had a rice pie at Calvary? Now you can say you have. God bless you, right? That's kind of fun. Why not? So what's the point of this, Pastor Ryan? Let me just extrapolate it like this, which, by the way, this pie is going to be at the guest stop, the rest of this pie, after service. And so if it's your first or second time, or as my wife said, you fill out that card and take it, this has got your name on it, okay? So here's the deal. This morning, the pie, the creator of the pie. Similarly, listen now, church, only the creator, only your creator, God revealed, only your creator, Jesus, whom God has revealed in, only your creator can reveal his will for your life. Nobody else can tell you your purpose except Christ. Listen to what Paul said. This is amazing. Put up that first slide if you can. This verse, I love this verse. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. In other words, God's purpose and plan are fulfilled in Christ. Three ways God reveals his will. I'm going to give this to you very quick this morning. God reveals his will. This is your first fill-in. In prayer and worship. Pastor Linnea had mentioned that we launched a prayer meeting on Wednesday, 6 p.m. prayer meeting, 7 p.m. dinner. It was a tremendous meeting. We believe here at Calvary, we're all about prayer. We believe in prayer. Jesus prayed, so we pray. We're all about passionate prayer and worship because Jesus is all about passionate prayer and worship. I remember having to make a major decision not too long ago, and we were living in California at the time, and it was a major crossroads for us. Were we going to move to where we kind of thought God was calling us to, or were we going to stay? And I remember this, babe? We just back and forth. We made a pros and cons list. We talked to friends. We talked to family. We went to conferences. We listened to podcasts. I mean, we were going, what should we do? What's God's will? Well, it was when we really got on our hands and knees. I remember, right by the bedside, we would pray and we began having a sense of what we were supposed to do. We ended up moving from California to Washington. This was over three years ago. We felt this is what God was calling us to, and prayer. God reveals his will in prayer. Listen to what Jesus prays. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Did you know that the kingdom, he says, your kingdom come. Do you know the kingdom of God, the Bible says, is righteousness, goodness, joy and peace. So Jesus was saying, Lord, your goodness come as it is in heaven. Lord, may it be here. Lord, your peace come as it is in heaven. May it be here. Your joy as it is in heaven. May it be here. And he says, your will be done. Jesus modeled that prayer aligns the way we do things with the way God does things. It's through prayer that we find what God's will is. That's why we pray on Wednesdays. That's why I'm going to invite you again. It's the most important meeting of our week here at Calvary because Jesus said, my house is a house of prayer. That's what we are, Calvary. Wednesday is an incredible time to come and to seek God's face and to find his will for our church, for our life, for our family, for our city. I love what Mother Teresa said. She says, my secret is very simple. I pray. You've got to understand the heart of this woman. I met in 1997, 3 months before she died. Nobel Peace Prize winner amongst 100,000 different honors that she had. And it was very interesting to me because as we were talking, very, very short conversations, and her urgency was, I have to get back with my sisters and I have to pray. You see, this is a woman who planted hundreds of missionary homes. This is a woman who courageously fed thousands of people. This is a woman who selflessly gave Jesus hope to millions in our world. My secret is simple. I pray. God reveals his will in prayer and in worship. I remember once we moved here in these last 3 years, I remember having to make decisions. I remember going through transitions in ministries and thinking that the ministry that we came for was where we'd be, that was it. That was our reason for coming. And it was through prayer that I found God had different plans. It was through prayer I found God's purpose. I want to encourage you. You may be somewhere and you're at a place and you go, well, man, is this God's will? Is this it? Do what we did. Hit your hands and knees. Begin to pray. Begin to ask God, what's next? You see, that why question, it gets us nowhere, but it's the what's next, God, question that he will begin to reveal his will. I love what William Temple said, Archbishop of Canterbury. He says, when I pray, coincidences happen. When I don't, they don't. Isn't that good? When I pray, coincidences happen. When I don't, they don't. I've come to understand, church, that discovering God's will is a daily discovery. As Paul described, it's the being in Christ. It's the day-to-day, moment-by-moment relationship with him. It's like tomorrow when I go to my endocrinologist appointment. I live with type 1 diabetes. I don't like to say I have type 1 diabetes. I just say I live with type 1 diabetes currently. And when I go to my endocrinologist appointment tomorrow, could you imagine me walking in, sitting down, hi, my name's Ryan, and just telling her everything, talking about everything, here are my updates, here's what's going on, da-da-da-da-da, telling her, and then just getting up and walking out. That's how a lot of us pray. That's why we laugh, right? That's how a lot of us pray. We just walk into God, okay, we tell him everything, we pray a few prayers, we give him, and then we just walk out, and we go on with our day. Let me encourage you, just take a minute right now. Just, and I know I'm talking to a lot of seasoned saints. There's a few new believers in here. Listen to me, both groups of Jesus followers. Listen. Listen. It's what Jesus and God said. Holy Spirit say all through, the Trinity says all through the Bible, they say, are your ears awake? Can you hear my voice? Truly, truly, I say to you, are you listening to me? Are you really listening to me? Prayer is, what I'm trying to get at here is prayer is a conversation. And I want to encourage you, church, to listen. When you go before the doctor on Monday morning, yes, tell them. Tell God what is on you. Tell him what you're doing. But then pause to listen to what his plan is to what His purpose for your life, for that day, for that moment is, what His will is. God reveals His will in prayer and in worship. Here's some in Christ advice for you. This morning, this is something that I've come to learn out of the Bible. Focus on the who before the do. Many of us are, Lord, what am I to do? What am I to do? What am I to do? What's your will for this? And what's your will for that? And what's your will? And I wonder if a lot of us just kind of go through life like that, not really ever being completely confident and secure in what God's will is, because we're focusing on the do and not the who. See, this is what Paul's after with the in Christ vernacular. This is why from a prison cell, okay, he can write about knowing God's will. He can write about knowing the purpose and the plan that God predestined for his life, because he's in Christ. It's relationship. He's listening. Sometimes we complain about the prisons of life, but honestly, sometimes the prisons of life are the best things that happen to us, because it's time for us to push the pause button. We got nowhere else to go. But listen, in Christ, advice. Focus on the who before the do. This is why the Holy Spirit in our season, especially this last season of transition through ministry, he told me three things. He said, slow down. Slow down. Slow your jets. We get in accidents when we go too fast. Right? Slow down. Listen. Listen to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Listen in Christ. Be in relationship. We're built for contemplation. Listen and think, and then rest. Do you know a lot of us don't relax? We don't know how to relax. You know what the opposite of relax is? The antonym of relax is worry. That's what a lot of us do. We just worry. And we're anxious people, aren't we? We're afraid of so much. But it's in prayer that God will reveal. God will reveal His will. In prayer. Jesus, who do you want me to be before? Jesus, what do you want me to do? Reminds me of the disciples, right? This is what the disciples did. This is the journey Jesus took the disciples on, is focusing on the who. And then Matthew 28. Yes? Mission Matthew 28 is what we stand by here. Making disciples of all the nations, baptizing them next week in the immersion of water, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm pointing here because that's where the baptismal tank is going to be. Baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything Jesus says, I've commanded you. The do, the go part came after years of relationship with Jesus. And I just want to give it to you that way. There's so much more to that theology we can unpack, but I just want to give it to you palatable this morning to say the who is who I focus on at 5 a.m. when I get up and I pray. Maybe tomorrow morning you just set your alarm 20, 30 minutes extra and you pray and you focus on the who. God will reveal the what to do. I promise you, He will. Three ways God reveals His will. Number two, God reveals His will in the Bible narrative. That's your next fill-in, the Bible narrative. You know, Calvary is all about encouraging Bible teaching, because Jesus is all about encouraging Bible teaching. I thought about this. I said, man, if God's will was all about my doing, I would have good reason to worry, right? If figuring it out was all about me, figuring out what do you want me, I would have good reason to worry. But I've found that it's not all about me finding out. It's all about God revealing it to me, and that happens in relationship. And we find that out. God reveals His will. We find this as we read the narrative in the Bible. That's how He does it. All the way from the very beginning, God was all about relationship. All He ever wanted was to know His people, for them to know Him, and then for them to tell as many people as they possibly could about who God is. That sounds familiar. That's like our vision, isn't it? To what? Our mission is to find and follow Jesus and to help as many other people in Seattle find and follow Jesus right along with us in this growing community of Calvary. So God reveals his will in the Bible narrative. I think of Joseph. You remember the story of Joseph? Joseph's got a dream. He's got clarity. As one of our pastors prayed this morning, God, give clarity to our people on what your will is. Joseph had a clarity. Here's my dream. Man, this is what's going to happen. And he extrapolates his dream and tells and articulates what he feels God wants him to do. And then what happens? He gets betrayed. Have you ever had that happen? You're just excited about something and you put it out there and you're betrayed by those closest to you, by friends, by family, by ministry partners. Have you ever been there? So he's thrown in a pit and you read his story. It doesn't end there. He goes on and he becomes somebody, so to speak, and he's got some more influence and power. And then what happens in Potiphar's house? Somebody lies about him. Somebody went to HR and told on him when he didn't do a cotton picking thing. And now he's in a prison. Kind of sounds like Paul, huh? So he's in a prison for something that he really shouldn't be in prison about, but persecuted. And he finds some more influence there. God gifts him, and he still has his dream. And you keep reading on in the Bible narrative, and you see how God reveals his will. It goes on, fast forward the story. He's now ruler of a nation, and everybody around them is going through famine, and God uses him in that. Well, he reconnects with his brothers who betrayed him years earlier, and he has mercy. The Bible narrative shows that God that Joseph has mercy on his brothers. And he says, I love this, he says, you know, you guys meant it for evil, but God turned it around, and he used it for good. We see how God reveals his will in the Bible narrative, how he will take a seemingly hopeless situation, a seemingly hopeless city, and he will turn it around for good. So we see God's will in the Bible there. Or David, you think of David, this young David, all surrounded by brothers who were just ripped and just good-looking guys, and then you've got little David out tending the sheep, and nobody even, his own family forgets about him when Samuel comes and he says, I'm here to anoint the next king, and finally David, they bring David from the, you know, way back in nowhere. Okay, I guess we have one more son, let's bring him out, and they bring him out. Samuel anoints him as king, and then what happens? Sends him back to the sheep pen. You're anointed. Go do what you were doing. Ever felt like that? Like, man, I know there's more in my life than this, but what in the world? I have to go back and do that? We read David's heart as he expresses, and we see how God reveals his will in the Bible narrative as David says things through the Psalms like, oh God, how long? How long? Have you ever felt like that? Like, okay, time, God, I mean, I've given you 15 years, right? God, I've given you 20 years. What am I, this thing you anointed me for, and I, but we read how God reveals his will in the Bible narrative and how David stands up before a giant. Just like you and I do, whatever that giant may be in your life. He stands up before the giant, and he realizes, he says, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit, by my Spirit, says the Lord God Almighty, and he slays a giant. He slays the thing that claimed to be over his head. He slays it. He takes that thing down, and we read the will of God in the Bible narrative to say, whatever claims to be over you, church, whatever is over you right now does not have ultimate authority over you. It may be a seemingly hopeless situation, but God is on your side. It's not going to be by your strength. It's going to be by his Spirit. Because no matter how big the giant is in front of you, the God inside of you, as Christine Kane says, is bigger than that giant in front of you. And we read God reveals his will in the Bible. Or Peter. You know the story of Peter in the New Testament. Peter who denies his Lord. I'll never deny you, God. I'm with you. If I have to die with you the way you do, I am with you. And then he betrays his Savior. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever done something you know you shouldn't do, but you find yourself doing it anyway? Is it just me in here? But we see how God reveals his will in the Bible narrative because we see one of the first people after Jesus is raised from the dead. Who does he go and have breakfast with? Peter. I mean, that is my language. When I read the 21st chapter of John, I'm like, God, how many times have you met me for morning coffee when the night before I felt like a failure? See, we read the will of God in the Bible narrative. Listen to this. Some of my favorite God's will scriptures. I got to give these to you real quick. Give thanks in all circumstances. Stick with me because we're going quick. These are in your notes too. For this is God's will. Underline that. For this is God's will. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Next scripture. God's will is for you to be holy. So stay away from all sexual sin. It's God's will. It's his best for you. Next scripture, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. To make the most of it, of every opportunity that's given you. How about this one? Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The transformation of your mind. How does that happen? By getting in his word. By waking up 15, 20 minutes earlier than you usually, just taking that time with God to read his word and let it sink in, that transform. Start thinking about things differently how God does. That's his perfect will for you, to see it as he sees it, to say it as he says it, not as it is. Next scripture, for this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to signs the ignorance of foolish people. This is the will of God, that by doing good, what is something good you can do on your way home this morning? Maybe it's paying for somebody's meal wherever you go out and eat, and you're secretly awesome. They don't even need to know you did it. What is something good that you can do to put to silence all that complaining and backbiting and skepticism and negativity and all that political stuff and all that, just to put that to silence? How? By doing something good. This is God's will. How about this scripture? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus, how much clearer can you be, Lord? Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. Wow. The clarity in the word of God. How about this? I will bless you with a future filled with hope, a future of success, not of suffering. I will bless you with a future filled with hope. There are people in here right now who are despondent, who are depressed, who are discouraged, who genuinely feel that there is no future. You're in a situation where it just feels completely, utterly hopeless. And you're asking, what is God's will? He says, I will bless you with a future. Listen, are your ears awake this morning? Filled with hope. See, we're used to saying things as they are. I feel weak. I'm so tired. I don't know if I have it in me. This is how we talk, right? This is how we talk. This is what we do. But the prophet Joel said, let the weak say, I am strong. See, we reading the Bible narrative changes how we think. I'm telling you, you get in this word and you're going to find some life, and you're going to find the will of a loving God who believes in you before you believe in you. And he says, let the weak say, I am strong. So when I get up and I'm only 37 and my left knee starts to go out on me when I start running and I go, this is really hard. I'm strong, Lord. You're going to help me. You're going to give me the strength I need. Well, my spirit's a little down today and I'm not really feeling like I can help a whole lot of people. But Lord, you said, let the weak say I am strong. So in your strength, we're going to, you see what I'm, it'll change it. God reveals his will in the Bible narrative. I love this one. God says, I've got my hand on this city to save it. What is God's will? Saving. Redeeming. Resurrecting. Let me just tell you right now. Resurrections, you know where they happen? In graveyards. It's not a trick question. Resurrections happen in graveyards. Is there a graveyard in your life? Do you have a graveyard of a marriage? God's in the resurrection business. He wants to save your marriage. I mean, what's the will of God? Well, let me tell you what the will of God is. He says, I've got my hand on this city to save it. We look at Seattle and we go, oh, there's so much hopelessness. Some of us in this room who are supposed to be the people of faith are part of the skepticism and part of the negativity, and we just talk down on this city. But God's will is he wants to save this city. And so we got to recalibrate how we're talking and how we're thinking. And God works miraculously to save your job. You may be at a place and your job just looks just hopeless. Maybe you've been through a bad break at your job. What does God want? What's his will? He wants to save it. He wants to save you. Maybe he's going to save you in that job. Maybe he's going to save you and save your situation by moving you to a better job, but he's in the saving, resurrecting business. Maybe your finances are in a graveyard right now. Hello. And God says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to resurrect what you thought was dead, and I'm going to bring life to it. Maybe your health. Maybe like me, you're suffering with a disease that has no cure. Hello, somebody this morning. And I want you to know that God is on your side, and he works in miraculous ways to save. What is his will? He wants to save you. He wants to love you. He wants to show you. He wants to unleash hope. Three ways God reveals his will. Number three, God reveals his will in Christian community. That's your third and final fill-in. Christian community. Calvary's all about generous community outreach because Jesus is all about generous community outreach. We're all about doing life together. That's why we come together on Wednesdays to pray, but we also come together to eat. Isn't that great? Oh man, it's awesome. It's awesome when you fasted that day, which I want to throw that out as an encouragement too. If you can physically do that, join me in fasting at least one meal on Wednesdays. Jesus made it clear there are certain things. This is a bunny trail, I know, in Scripture. But Jesus says there are certain things in Scripture that can only be broken, that can only happen with prayer and fasting. And so if you can do it physically, would you join me? But we get together and we eat. We break the fast after prayer and we eat at 7. Community. It's in community that we find great ways to reach people together. It's in community that we find the sharpening and the bettering of who we are, and we find out a lot of times in community that the next thing to do is just simply the next right thing. It's people who encourage you, like today, people who you rub shoulders with today. It's God reveals his will in conversations and in scriptures that are brought up, and encouragement that you receive from maybe somebody else, and it's community. Three questions Nikki Gumbel gives us that test if it's really God's will. I want to give this to you because this is a help, especially for some new believers, especially for those who are facing decisions this week you need to make. Let me just give these to you very quick. Three questions that test if it's really God's will. Number one, is it in line with what the Bible tells us? Your first feeling. Is it in line with what the Bible? We talked about this earlier. If it's not in the Bible, if the Bible narrative doesn't speak to it, or there is no clarity thereof, let's just push the pause button on that decision. Number two, is it strengthening? Is it comforting? Does it promote love? Does it promote love? Is the decision you're about to make, is the thing you're deciding on, does it promote love? Jesus was all about love. I heard it said that every human being needs the church, needs community. Why? Because Christianity, or following Jesus, whose root, whose core is love, requires fellowship. Does it promote love? Number three, do you feel a sense of God's peace about it? This is important. Is there a sense of peace right here in the deepest part of who you are? Or is there tension there and I'm not, I don't know, I'm just, there's anxiety and there's... Is there peace there for this decision that you're praying over, that you're thinking about? Three things to test if it's really God's will. Three questions. Ask yourself those things before making a decision on what it is. I want to encourage you, don't ignore that peace. Yeah. I've learned in my Christian walk with Jesus and following him to not ignore that peace, that sense inside of you, the knowing in your knower, the peace part of it. If you ignore that peace, it doesn't always, take it from me, that's a long cup of coffee. It doesn't always, if you just make it happen in your own, it's just, it doesn't always end well. I've learned to not ignore the peace and the promptings when you feel them internally. Because here's what I've learned. I've learned that the common sense and the reason that God has given us are very well God guiding us in the next right decision. That peace is there for a reason. I love this scripture. Here's what the Lord says. I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. I will guide you, the Lord says. I will watch over you. I will advise you in the way you should go. Are you facing a major decision this week? Talk to me. Are you facing a major decision in your health and your finances and relationships where you're asking, what's God's will for my life? Maybe a job decision or a relationship conclusion. We've got some single people in here wondering about entering into relationships and focusing on becoming the person they're looking for and trying to decide what's best in this situation. Should I? Shouldn't I not? Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a financial choice this morning. Maybe there's something in front of you that I haven't even mentioned, but it's a big decision. It's something that you've got to decide. What's God's will? What's His will for me? Here's the really big question, and this is in your notes. The really big question this morning is, will you do whatever God asks you to do? This is really what it comes down to. Will you do whatever God asks you to do? You see, knowing God's will doesn't have to be a mystery. Finding out what God's will is for your life becomes clear the closer you draw to Him. Would you pray with me? This morning, I want to give an opportunity with every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to give an opportunity to those who found hope this morning. And somewhere in what I've said, you found hope, and something inside of your spirit just leapt when you heard. I want to encourage you this morning. You know, men, women, boy, and girl, those of us who maybe don't have joy and peace and hope inside, what do? We spend an entire lifetime searching for it, seeking for it, trying to find satisfaction. And we search in all the, we search in everywhere, don't we? We search in acceptance from people, in relationships. We search in jobs. Well, if I just find the right job, that'll give me joy. We search in, well, if my health is perfect, that'll give me peace. That'll give me joy. We search in substance abuse, some of us. I know what I'm talking about. I've done all these things, all these examples. I've done them all. We search in sex. We search in overeating. We search in undereating. We search in food medicating. We search everywhere, trying to find satisfaction, joy, and peace inside. And you know what I found? With every head bowed and eye closed, I found that the only place I found satisfaction, joy, peace, and hope gives me something to wake up for in the morning is my relationship with Jesus. When I found Jesus and I began following Him, everything changed. Quite literally, everything changed. And this morning, I want to extend an invitation. This isn't from me. This is from God this morning. And if you found hope this morning, and this morning you're saying, I want to make a decision and I want to follow Jesus, Pastor Ryan, I'm going to follow Jesus with you. This morning, if that's you, at the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. And I ask you to raise your hand so for one reason, so I know who I can pray with. Okay? If you want to follow Jesus, one, two, three, lift your hand. I want to pray for you. Yep, one, two, three, four, five. Any others? Any others? Six in the back. I got you. You can put your hands down. And would you, those who just raised your hand, I congratulate you for lifting your hand and giving your heart to Jesus. Would you pray with me, those who just raised your hand? Just pray this prayer in your heart. Lord, God, come into my heart. Jesus, I'm sorry for my mistakes. And God, I come to you today, and I'm asking you to come into my life to forgive my mistakes and to help me follow you wholeheartedly from this day forward. God, as I open your Bible and I begin to read your scriptures, please speak to me. Please, I want to know your will for my life. I'm trusting you. God, as I pray to you, I pray I would hear your voice. Teach me, oh God, today how to follow you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, with all my mind. In Jesus' name, amen. And before you lift your head, with every head bowed and still eyes closed, those in this place that are, when I asked, are you facing a big decision today? I want to pray for you right now too. Those who've said, I want to know God's will, and it's been, you know, I think I do, but I still would like prayer. I got some big decisions coming up this week, and I just need the Lord's directive. If that's you, at the count of three, would you raise your hand? I want to pray with you. One, two, three, would you just raise your hand? I see hands all over the room. Yep. Big decisions this week. Things for finances, for health, for jobs, for relationships. Good. You could put your hand down. Would you pray with me? Pray this prayer with me. God, we pray for your directive. Holy Spirit, Lord, as we pray, Lord, reveal your will. God, as we open your word and we read your Bible narrative, God, reveal your will. Lord, as we're in Christian community like now, today, as we rub shoulders with people who believe in you, encourage health, unleash hope, inspire faith. God, let your will, your perfect will, be revealed. And as Jesus prayed, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth in my life, Jesus, as it is in heaven. So I'm praying over all my dear brothers and sisters today, God, that your voice would be heard clearly, and that we, God, could fulfill our purpose and follow your plan. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Look up here if you can real quick. If you raised your hand for the first time to give your heart to Jesus, I want to just encourage you. A lot of times we say, well, what's the next step? The next step is to get one of these cards. On the back it says, I dedicated my life to Jesus for the first time, or I rededicated my life to Jesus. Would you fill this card out if you can? Fill it out. If you don't have time to do it before you exit these doors, just head right over to Guest Stop, because we have a Next Steps packet, something special just for you for the decision that you made today. Plus, you'll get a piece of Rise Pie if you go there. We love you. Would you stand with us this morning as we seal these things with worship and prayer as unto our Lord?